Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. My friends, there's a battle going on for the soul of our country. Marxists are trying to overthrow our republic. This is obvious to a lot of you, perhaps not so obvious to everybody, but it should be. Yes, Marxists are trying to overthrow our republic. Some are quite open, shamelessly open, about their Marxist philosophy. Others dress the title up with words such as fairness or reparations or wealth redistribution or compassion. Those are words for the suckers. They are code for the goal of a shredded constitution and a tyrannical police state. Now, there are many tactics that people who want to overthrow a country use, but I'm going to talk about the two chief ones. The first tactic, fear. If you can scare people to death, you can get them to do anything. Look at the rights we laid down this past year and a half over a virus, but we've talked about that quite a bit on this radio show. So today I want to spend most of my time talking about the second tactic used by those who wish to overthrow countries, and that is historical revision. Historical revision breeds discontent. Historical revision breeds division. Abraham Lincoln, easily one of the greatest presidents this country ever had, warned against division as the way in which America would fall. He said a country from the outside could not cross the ocean and conquer America, but America could fall from within if people can breed disunity. And historical revision leads to this disunity. It wages class warfare. It causes people to feel hatred and shame for their own nation. Namely, that America's history is an evil one with slavery as its primary foundation. The whole 1619 Project teaching. Well, let me tell you something, my friend. We can allow them to keep teaching that in our schools, but I'm telling you, in the name of shaming a country that once owned slaves, a transformation is about to take place into a Marxist state that will sooner or later make slaves of everybody. And so, today, allow me to share a response to historical revision. What should I call this response? How about historical truth? Now, how do you know if something's the truth? You check it out. You verify it. Don't take my word for it. Don't respond emotionally. Look at the history books. Look at authenticated history books. Look at scholarly history books. Look at facts. Look at verifications. And you'll see that what I'm telling you is the truth. We'll start with an obvious truth that nobody can deny. You can love America. You can hate America. But slavery is part of our history. And the very word slavery at once produces images of shame and pride. We can be proud of the many Americans who either dedicated their lives or sacrificed their lives to eventually end this horrific institution, but we also shudder to think that a wicked, inexcusable treatment of people could ever have been allowed by our country at all. American history is a paradox and can only be viewed honestly as a dual truth. On one hand, the word hypocrisy seems almost too obvious a description for our nation forged upon premises of freedom, all the while embracing the most opposite idea to freedom ever witnessed. In the mind of any decent thinker, nothing could be more abhorrent than human beings actually buying, selling, and owning other human beings. On the other hand, much as idealistic individuals hate to admit it, life can often be a series of contradictions and ethical inconsistencies. 21st century citizens with their 20/20 hindsight find 18th century moral paradoxes difficult to fathom. As a result, they dive into conversations of conscience with simplistic thinking. But the legacy left behind by our founding fathers is simplistic only in its ideals. The accomplishment of these ideals came into being like a long three-act play, one where the protagonist had to deal with a few demons of his own, unable to quickly slay dragons with his shining armor. American history is both wonderful and horrible at the same time. People often embrace the record they were exposed to first, forgetting to play its flip side. We have the luxury of living at a time when verbal condemnation of slavery was one of the first lessons taught by grade school teachers. teachers. Earlier generations were offered a strikingly different presentation of this peculiar institution. They were taught that any people at all in those days who rose above such brainwashing to fight the practice are to be admired, even if they moved more slowly than molasses. Men like John Adams were quite vocal against slavery and said with passion, "Never in my life did I own a slave." Between the years 1777 and 1804, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Vermont, New York, and New Jersey either abolished slavery or passed laws setting into motion its eventual demise. These decisions were not made in a vacuum and were partially influenced by our founding fathers. The new states of Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, and Wisconsin joined the Union slave-free as a result of standards put in place earlier for the Northwest Territory during the Ordinance of 1787, inspired by Rufus King, one of the Constitution's signers. Founding fathers involved with societies for ending slavery included Richard Bassett, James Madison, James Monroe, John Marshall, and many more. Nevertheless, skeptics love to remind us of founders who spoke against slavery, yet owned slaves themselves, some their entire lives. Indeed, the much-admired Ben Franklin owned servants but changed his views on slavery as he grew older and helped to establish the Pennsylvania Abolition Society. Thomas Jefferson tried unsuccessfully through the Continental Congress to pass a law ending slavery and also penned some famous words, "Nothing is more certainly written in the book of fate than that these people are to be free." Unfortunately, Jefferson found himself unable to personally break from the practice, in part because of his financial trappings. Personal writings reveal that the man was tortured over his own inconsistencies. Similarly conflicted, George Washington remained a slave owner his entire life, but also worked against the importing of new slaves into American colonies and eventually vowed to never again buy or sell a slave. Finally, Washington arranged for the release of all personal slaves at the time of his death and of his wife's death. My friends, such self-reflection and growth cannot be overestimated. Our human conscience tends to hide on the mind's back shelf when bombarded by popular accepted practices of society. A typical ancient Roman, if asked how he felt about murder, would have condemned it without hesitation. But if you asked this same guy about the gladiator games, this very same citizen might have offered a completely different answer and a puzzled expression, since in his mind, the gladiator games were mere sporting events. It would have been like asking somebody what he thought of the Super Bowl. America today, having long since settled its position on slavery, remains sharply divided over other matters of conscience. The jury is still out on how future generations will look back at us. One such issue, the red-hot topic of abortion. That serves as an interesting analogy. These days, many who once defended a woman's right to abortion are now leading activists in pro-life, anti-abortion organizations, having concluded that the unborn child, even at an early state, is in fact a living person, not mere tissue or property of another human being to be kept or disposed of at will, simply because it resides inside the mother's body. As a matter of fact, countless testimonies of key women who take on such causes reveal how they once had abortions themselves. Now, does such personal history make them hypocrites, or instead people who rethought a moral situation based upon their own experience? Our joint pilgrimage as human beings includes the marvelous ability to learn, grow, and eventually change. This is also true for countries. Slowly but surely, the high ideals of our founding fathers have been put into more consistent operation. We eventually came up with an amendment that abolished slavery. We eventually passed laws against segregation. If some historians made the mistake of painting our founding fathers as saints, just as many are mistaken to paint them as devils. They were, in fact, human beings, nothing more and nothing less. Let history reflect them accurately. This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.